Now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena. We're both in blue.
We are. Nice.
It's a blue day. Or shall I say a green day? Because it's International Day of Forests today. It's actually a UN-designated day, so it has some significance.
Really? Yeah. So I'm supposed to do what on this day? Go plant trees or care a little bit more about the forests?
That is part of the kind of raising awareness campaign. So if you want to plant trees, then do so, I guess.
Point me to a plot of land where I can do that, and I'll be sure to do it, but you're coming with me. Okay, let's get started, Adam. The three-day Summit for Democracy just wrapped up in Seoul, so let's do a wrap-up right here in Good Morning Seoul as well. Our first keyword of the day.
Democracy summit ends.
So the third Summit for Democracy has wrapped up with comments from President Yoon. What did he have to say?
Right, so he promised to continue working with other democratic countries to build upon the outcomes of this summit and further develop global democracy. And he called on democratic nations to jointly tackle disinformation to guarantee fair elections and safeguard the foundation for democracy. He emphasized the importance of confronting these challenges, noting the future of young people and children depend on today's efforts. And he also called for sharing technologies to confront forces that exploit AI and digital technologies to produce disinformation, as well as creating new AI and digital systems as well to locate and eliminate those forces. Now, the summit's final day included a virtual meeting with leaders from 36 countries chaired by President Yoon. They discussed how AI and digital technology affect democracy, challenges to democratic processes, and the role of democratic societies in ensuring a free online space. Because there's been a lot of concern of these deep fakes that has been emerging, especially around the time of elections, and you don't really know if a person speaking is actually a real person speaking in the virtual space. The presidential office, meanwhile, praised the summit for bringing together ideas on how technology impacts democracy. The whole theme surrounding this summit for democracy was, of course, AI and digital technology. It also praised the contribution of youth to democratic development and approaches for global collaboration against disinformation. And it highlighted Korea's active role in suggesting a path forward for global democracy as the host and co-chair, reaffirming the international community's high regard for South Korea's democracy. Of course, it was the first time this summit, which is a US-led initiative, was hosted outside of the US for the first time since its launch by Joe Biden. That's how it wrapped up.
All right. An emphasis on disinformation, how to tackle it in an increasingly sophisticated AI era. I've actually come across not maybe political campaigns, but videos, deep fake videos of celebrities endorsing certain brands or certain products. And I thought it looked more real than before. You can still discern it with a naked eye, I think, so far. But I can only imagine how far we can go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite to the level where we could get confused. I guess to some who are not really a trained eye, then maybe it could fool a few people. But the majority of times, you can still tell the difference. But it is advancing very quickly. So it's only a matter of time. So it'll be when it'll be hard to distinguish, I guess, between what is real and what is not.
So regulations should come perhaps before, because technology is always really fast, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to our second keyword of the day.
Med school quota.
So the government is pushing through with its plan to add 2,000 slots for new students at medical schools nationwide by year 2025. So next year, most of them will be outside the capital region. 82% of added student quota will be allocated for the non-capital regions. So can you tell us the details of the government plan?
Right. So the new enrollment numbers will, as you say, take effect from February 2025. The Education Ministry has allocated 82% of new slots, or 1,639 seats, to medical schools outside of the Seoul metropolitan area. This, of course, is in line with the government's push to enhance healthcare access in remote regions. Only 361 seats are ceded to five medical schools in Gyeonggi and Incheon. Seoul-based schools will actually see no change in their admissions because the government sees that the medical school or the medical field is sufficient as it is in the capital. Now, starting next year, provincial medical schools will account for 72.4% of the nation's yearly medical college quota. That's 3,662 out of a nationwide enrollment of 5,058. All medical schools outside Seoul will admit 100 to 200 students starting next year, except Daegu Catholic University and Chan University, which are expected to admit about 80 students. Now, Prime Minister Han Duck-soo said the nation's medical schools could handle the extra 2,000 students a year. He said the government is paying the political cost because compromise would harm the public. And he said the government would craft policies and build a system to let medical students from regional schools serve in the long run in local hospitals and healthcare centers. Of course, the whole point of this is to make sure that after they graduate from these med schools, that they stay in those regions and go into hospitals in those regions. So it kind of defeats the point if they're all moved to the capital again. So it's not just about increasing the quota of med schools in provincial areas, but keeping them after graduation in those areas as well. And Han also noted that the government would, doctors and medical students do argue that this is a sudden increase in student numbers will harm the quality of medical education and strain the current system. That's why there's been a lot of opposition against it, and strikes and more strikes are being warned of. And they want the government to reverse its decision, but that's unlikely to happen. The government, of course, putting its foot down even more with that announcement of the 2,000 increase in quotas. Now, meanwhile, the government is set to hold a discussion, however, on improving the working conditions of residents. This is part of efforts to communicate with the medical community and persuade them to return to work. But pundits believe that not much will come out of these discussions. It will just be a stage where either side are basically reiterating their points again, and it remains to be seen if any compromise will be made. But it looks unlikely, and the standoff is expected to continue.
Let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
General elections.
So candidate registration for the 22nd general election has begun, essentially marking the start of the election race. And now come next week, we'll see more campaigning. Yeah. It gets louder. Tell us more.
I was just about to say, so prepare yourselves if you're sleeping in, I guess, in the early mornings. You might hear a lot of megaphones and trucks with a lot of music
playing. By the
way,
lucky you if you're sleeping in. I don't know what you're talking about.
I said, if you are, as in like everyone else apart from the likes of us, I guess. But those who do enjoy a good sleep in might be a bit disturbed during the campaign period. Of course, we are about only a month left until the elections take place. Now, the registration, though, for the candidates will take place from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. until tomorrow. Party-affiliated candidates need to submit a nomination form signed by their party leader. Independent candidates must have a recommendation signed by eligible voters. This election continues to use a mixed voting system. There's going to be district representatives taking up 254 seats. Proportional representatives will take up 46. Personal details, including asset declarations, military service status, criminal records, tax details of registered candidates will be publicly available through the National Election Commission's website. The official campaigning period is from March 28th, so next week, to April 9th, the day before the election. Now, voters who are 18 and older can vote through overseas voting from the 27th to April 1st. Early voting is on April 5th and 6th, or you can vote on election day itself, of course. Now, this election is seen as a midpoint review or a litmus test of President Yoon's government, and also evaluates the Democratic Party as well, which actually currently holds the majority in the National Assembly. So eyes will be on whether it's able to hold on to that majority. The ruling People Power Party is appealing to voters to support the government and its policies by emphasizing the need to judge the large opposition. On the other hand, the DP aims to critique and keep the government's performance in check. Now, this election will also test the performance of satellite parties in the proportional representation vote, and that of newly formed parties as well. That's kind of one of the key highlights, or one of the things to look out for. Of course, these newly formed parties are being formed by a lot of political heavyweights, So we'll have to see how they do. Alongside the general election, there will also be by-elections for various local government positions across 45 regions. So a lot of mayoral races as well.
All right. So candidate registration for the April general elections begins today. Hold on to your hats. We'll have more updates tomorrow. Let's move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
U.S. troops.
So the commander of U.S. Forces Korea, Paula Kamara, has stressed the need to keep the number of American soldiers in South Korea at 28,500. Now, this comes in amid concerns that if the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, gets elected again, he might want to reduce the number and, again, ask Korea to bear a bigger burden of the cost. So it's in preparation for that very possibility. What came out?
Yeah, so that was one of his main kind of policy objectives when he was president. And it is expected that he's going to go through with the same policy if he does get reelected. Christopher Miller, who served as the acting Pentagon chief under Trump, had previously suggested it might be time to rethink whether South Korea still needs 28,500 U.S. troops. Now, Lacamera told a hearing of the House Armed Services Committee that Washington must continue to build physical, mental, and spiritual readiness through operations and activities designed to compete in the gray zone with the DPRK. He also talked about how the presence of U.S. troops in South Korea plays a big role in dealing with challenges from China and Russia in Northeast Asia. He emphasized that protecting South Korea is crucial because it's a key part of ensuring security in the region and keeping up the United States' promises to defend its ally through extended deterrence. Now, when asked about the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, Lacamera said that Kim's main goal is the regime's survivability, in his words. And he said Kim's working on developing weapons and wants to lessen the economic penalties this country faces. Lacamera mentioned that North Korea is also helping Russia with its military needs in its war with Ukraine while testing its own military equipment. And he added that the U.S. is still figuring out what Pyongyang might have gotten from Moscow in return for its support. And he warned that the North might engage in smaller, less obvious military actions, but that they do still pose a danger.
All right, with that, we move on to our final keyword of the day.
Rate freeze.
So the Federal Reserve has held interest rates steady as expected and signaled it still plans multiple cuts before the end of the year. What's the latest, Adam?
Right, so the key lending rate is still at between 5.25% and 5.5%. This marks the fifth consecutive time since last September that the Fed has kept the rates unchanged. Now, along with this decision, Fed officials have penciled in three possible quarter percentage point cuts by the end of 2024, which would be the first reduction since the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, all the way back in March 2020. Now, the Fed mentioned in a statement after their meeting that they aim to achieve maximum employment and a 2% inflation rate. They explain that the decision to keep the interest rate unchanged support these goals. Fed Chair Jerome Powell noted that inflation has eased substantially and the labor market has remained strong, but he stressed that inflation is still too high ongoing progress in bringing it down is not assured and the path forward is uncertain. So a bit of a cautious tone there, but a little bit rosy at the same time. But he also noted that continued strength in the labor market wouldn't be a reason to hold off lowering interest rates, so strongly supporting any hints of lowering interest rates. Now, the latest rate freeze put the gap between the key rates of Korea and the U.S. at up to 2 percentage points. So, of course, if the Fed lowers it, that gap will, of course, reduce and it'll put less pressure on the BOK to narrow the gap itself. Now, also following the Fed announcement of possible interest rate cuts this year, all three major indices on the Wall Street reached record highs as expected. So we'll have to see if this momentum continues, if inflation is, of course, in check.
Thank you so much for today's coverage, Adam. Have a safe day. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're very welcome. See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.